Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 7. If you are visiting with us as a congregation, we are in the midst, coming towards the end of our series through the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, we've looked last week specifically about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And today we've come to Matthew 7, verse 12. That's page 965. And interestingly, if you're looking at the Sermon on the Mount as a whole, the central theme, or the central portion of the Sermon on the Mount begins by focusing on the law and the prophets, and now this section is brought to an end by focusing on the law and the prophets. So after the sermon today, we're going to be moving into what in some ways is kind of the application or summary of the Sermon on the Mount, the summary application. So let's read from Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 14, but our focus is just on verse 12. So Matthew 7 at verse 12. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, most people don't like rules because rules tell you the things that you are not supposed to do. Most of the time, the rules set boundaries for us that if we were left to our own desires, we would not stay within those boundaries. Rules most of the time come to us in the negative form. For example, don't do this, don't enter there, no trespassing, no speeding. But what about a rule that would come to us in a positive form? You shall do something. Well, that sounds strange, different to our ears. Well, as we return to the Sermon on the Mount this morning, we come to what is perhaps one of the most well-known words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. But as we consider this particular verse, we are going to find that Jesus is speaking it to us in a specific context and gives it a direction that is quite challenging to us. Now, everyone demands justice when they have been transgressed against. We have a high priority on what we think we deserve. We have expectations, and people are to meet those expectations. One of the things that leads to a divorce in our world today is often unmet expectations. I expected you to do this for me, and you didn't do this. But what about the expectations others should place upon us? What about things that we are to give to others? We should focus, as we're going to see today, on not just what people should be doing to us or giving to us, but what we are required to give to them. A very well-known quote from President JFK goes like this: "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Well, this really is a political twist of the words that Jesus speaks today. Think not of what people should do for you, but rather think what you should do for others. They have needs. People have needs that are to be met. And Jesus Christ puts that upon us, that we are to see those needs and to meet those needs. We are not free to live any way that we want. We are not free to live with a focus on ourselves, doing what is pleasing to us, but rather our focus is to always be out and looking at others and what we are to do to benefit them. If you have your Bibles open, you will see that in the very next passage, we're going to be looking at this next week, that Jesus says, the way of the Christian life is hard. Right? The way that leads to life is hard. Is difficult. As we're looking at the golden rule today, let no one here think it is easy. The life of the Christian is hard, it is difficult, and more often than not, if you have two choices before you, the way of obedience is the harder of the two. Because that's what Christ is calling us to, a life of sacrifice, putting the needs of others, but even before our own. So today we are going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches his disciples to follow his golden rule by serving others. In our first point, then, we are going to be looking at the extent and range of this commandment. How far does this rule go? How far are we to go in following this rule? While most specific rules apply to specific contexts or specific situations. For example, the rules for speeding apply to the rules of the road. When you are off of work, your boss shouldn't be expecting you to do work when you are not on the clock. Children, you can be thankful in a few weeks from now, your teacher is not going to show up at your house and ask you if you're doing your homework. Rules apply to specific contexts. But is there any time or any situation when the golden rule does not apply? Can we say that the golden rule applies to Sunday, or it only applies to my family, or it only applies to people that I like, or it only applies to situations that are easy, or does the golden rule apply to all people at all times? Is there a time or space when the rule to treat others as you would have them treat you doesn't apply or carries no weight? Well, the golden rule is a very unique rule because it applies at all times, in all places, and to all people, meaning that it is applied by us to all people in all times and all situations. Interestingly, the golden rule comes for us in the positive form. Now, when I was doing my research, I found that there is such a thing as a silver rule. The silver rule says this: do not do anything that you would not like others to do to you. It sounds kind of like the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath is a promise that doctors would make, promising to, quote, do no harm. And that's what a lot of people think when they think about being a good, moral, upstanding member of society, is that you just don't do harm to other people. Don't do anything to others that you would not have them do to you. But that the silver rule is incredibly easy to keep. Because if you don't want to do anything to others that you wouldn't want them to do to you, well, you just don't have to do anything. You can keep the silver rule by staying in bed all day. I'm not going to do any harm, therefore I'm not going to do anything. The solution to avoid doing harm to other people is to have no contact with people. People are messy. Relationships are messy. So I'm going to cut out all the messy work and just don't do anything to anyone. Do no harm, so I just avoid doing anything. But that, congregation, is not the golden rule, and that is not what Jesus is calling us to do today. Avoiding people takes no effort, but doing good takes a ton of work. One example, hospitality. Hospitality is literally a love for strangers. If you take the silver rule and you apply that to hospitality, well, then you just don't, the way you show love to people is by doing nothing for them. You avoid them. But that is not what Jesus is here saying. He is saying doing good to others is putting yourself out there, is putting in the effort, is putting in the work to treat others as you would have them treat you. So the first thing that we find in our text, 7 verse 12, is that this rule is not in the negative, but it's in the positive. It's not the silver rule, it is the golden rule. The second thing we find about this particular verse is that it is really a summary of the law. Jesus says this in verse 12. This is the law and the prophets. The Old Testament in general, and specifically the Ten Commandments, can be summarized by one word: love. The first half of the commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second half of the commandments, commandments 6 through 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is here saying that when you understand the law, the entirety of the Old Testament, and when you understand the commandments, the Ten Commandments, this golden rule will give you direction, will tell you how you are to live. So the golden rule is a summary of the law and the prophets. If you were to summarize the entirety of the Old Testament when dealing with inter-man relationships or at the horizontal level, we could boil it down to this. Treat others as you would like to be treated. Treating your neighbor as you would like your neighbor to treat you. That is the summary of the law, and it is summarized by the word of love. Just a couple examples. If you look at Deuteronomy 22, Deuteronomy 22 deals with a law of if you see your neighbor's donkey or ox collapsing under their load, what are you supposed to do? Well, the silver law would say, ignore it. The golden rule says, help your neighbor's animal. Why? Because if your animal was being crushed under its burden, what would you want your neighbor to do for you? You would want your neighbor to help your animal. So in thinking of others, you're going to help your neighbor and their neighbor's animal. If you see your neighbor's sheep stuck in a ditch or caught in the thorns, you don't ignore it. You think to yourself, well, if I were in the position of my neighbor, what would I want my neighbor to do for me? I would want my neighbor to help my animal and by extension, help me. So to put it in today's context, if you see your neighbor's lawn is overgrown, you can complain about it or you can ignore it, or Jesus would say, put yourself in that position. What would you like your neighbor to do for you if you were had that happening? What if your lawn was being overgrown because your lawnmower had broken or your lawn service had been canceled? Wouldn't you appreciate the offer of help in a situation like that? So this commandment is teaching us to take our focus off of what's right in front of us, off of our specific needs in our life, and start to look up. Lift your chin up. Look around. How can you be a blessing? If you were in that situation, how would you like to be helped? So this commandment is bringing benevolence. If I lost my job, how would I appreciate support from others? If this event happened to you, or if something happens to you and it becomes a situation where people might be gossiping about you, would you appreciate people talking about you behind your back, or would you rather appreciate their prayers and their support? So this commandment is telling you to put yourself in other people's shoes. Show compassion to them. Think about how would you like to be treated if this was happening to you? Well, that raises another question. Who then is your neighbor? Jesus answers that question in Luke 14. Who is my neighbor? Who should I love? Who should I treat as if I wanted to be treated the same way? Our verse says the other in our text, to treat others. Well, who is this others? What group or category is Jesus speaking about? While the extent of the golden rule is not only incredibly deep, going to our heart, remember it's talking about love, it's also incredibly wide. It covers all those whom God places in your path. When asked the question, who is my neighbor, Jesus responded by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Whoever is in front of you, whoever is in your path, whoever you have contact with is your neighbor. So let's apply this to a couple specific situations. Here we can be very specific. In the home, the other that Jesus is speaking about here is starting in your home, in your house. As I said this before, one of the key breakdowns is in a marriage is when a husband or a wife start to take the other spouse for granted. Thinking more about what you expect of your spouse instead of what you can do for your spouse. But what if we looked at it differently? What if instead of thinking, well, I hope my wife does this, or I hope my husband does this, that you take it upon yourself and you do the very thing that you wanted your spouse to do for you? Taking out the garbage, unloading the dishwasher, washing the car, Instead of thinking, well, I sure hope they see that this needs to be done and I have an expectation upon them, Jesus is saying, let's look at it a different way. If you want to show love, think of how you can benefit them by doing what they perhaps normally do. Children, it's Mother's Day. How can you think of the things your mother does? And instead of expecting, well, mom always does this, Jesus says, let's look at this a different way. Instead of seeing other people in what you expect them to do for you, how about you think about how you can do something for them? Put yourself in their position. Show your love, show your support, show your gratitude. Children, I have a challenge for you. After dinner today, if you're old enough, how about you offer to do the dishes? Hey, mom, I want to clear the table. I know you normally do this, or I know dad normally does this. I'm going to put myself in a different position today. I'm going to offer to do something good instead of expecting you to do it for me. If we want words of support or acts of service, instead of thinking, they need to start, they need to go first, I'm going to go first. It even comes to forgiveness. What happens most of the time when there is a conflict in a relationship, both parties are partly at fault. And what often happens is, well, I'll apologize if they apologize first. That's the silver rule. Jesus says the golden rule. You go first. You think it's more their fault? How about you be the one to apologize first? It's radically changing how we approach relationships. How about in the workplace? You have a neighbor or a coworker who's struggling with something. Well, if I didn't know how to do this, I couldn't accomplish this, wouldn't I appreciate a coworker coming and giving of their time to help me and support me, or at school? If you want other people to include you and be kind to you, start by including them and being kind to them. Showing forgiveness, showing charity, showing grace. And if you are a boss, if you have people that work for you, put yourself in their position. What if your employee was actually your employer? How would that change your approach to them? As you would like to be treated, you should treat them. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Be patient. Show sacrificial love. Even to your enemies. Even to your enemies. Now, Jesus would say when your enemy slaps you on the right cheek, don't slap them back. But rather, what do? You give them a cup of cold water. You pray for them. You seek to do them good. Jesus is radically changing how we see others in this world. But the calling to put others first is not given to us in a vacuum. Jesus himself was showing us how to do this. Because when Jesus was mocked, he responded with prayer. Did Jesus come to be served or to serve? Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a sacrifice. Philippians 2. In humility, Jesus puts the needs of others before his own. So the golden rule really changes the direction of our lives. Instead of giving people what we think they deserve, instead of avoiding people and just doing no harm, God's people are positively pursuing ways to do good to everyone who God puts in their path. John Calvin titles this active charity. Active charity. Passive charity is when you sit back and you wait for things to come to you. Active charity is lifting up your head and looking around. How can you bless those God has placed in your life? Be that in the home or in the school or in the workplace or in your neighborhood, how can you bless and serve others? Not by just doing the minimum or doing what is expected of you, but doing what is hard, showing kindness. Micah 6, verse 8, we read this earlier. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. When God's people live this way, when God's people are acting this way, they are showing fruit. They are showing Christ in their lives. They're showing the fruit of the Spirit. You remember that, children, don't you? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what we're called to do as God's people. Galatians 5, verse 14. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now that we understand the depth and the breadth, or the how deep it is and how wide this particular commandment applies, in our second point, we're going to look at who is the recipient of this commandment and who has the ability to keep it. The golden rule is a high point. It's a crescendo here in the Sermon on the Mount. As I said before, the really high point in the sermon began with Jesus focusing on the law and the prophets, and now this high point is brought to an end with Jesus focusing on the law and the prophets. This one verse really does summarize the Christian life. It summarizes the second table of the law. It summarizes how we should treat each other in the horizontal context. But this point must be clarified. This commandment is found in a particular context and is given to a specific people who have a specific identity. In other words, this commandment, the golden rule, is given to the church. It's given to the disciples of Jesus Christ. It is given to those who are already united to Christ by faith. Those who already have the Holy Spirit living in their heart, sanctifying them. The golden rule is not a balance sheet. It's not a set of scales that would determine whether or not we enter into glory. The problem today is that many people who see and use and quote the golden rule quote it as if it is some sort of golden set of scales that everybody's life will be weighed in. Well, if I do more good than I do bad, then God will let me into heaven. The golden rule is used as a basis for works righteousness. When people speak about everlasting life or going into heaven, and you ask them, if you were to die today and to go to the pearly gates and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Their answer will be, well, I tried to think of the good of other people. I tried to do more good than evil. As if I could somehow tip the balance of the scale in my favor by thinking of others more than myself. To get to heaven, all you have to do is make sure you have more positive than negative. Your good outweighs your bad. In that context, Jesus is reduced to a moral teacher, and the Christian faith is reduced to a set of laws that man can keep by himself. So if you do to others as you would have them do to you, if you simply avoid doing harm, trying to be kind, God will let you into heaven. But we must avoid the legalistic application of this verse. The first reason that the golden rule cannot be used as a means to get into heaven is because there is no one here and there has never been born a man, woman, or child who would ever be able to keep this rule perfectly. I can say this with confidence. There is no one sitting down or standing up today who has ever kept this commandment perfectly. By nature, we are selfish. By nature, we hate people who get in our way. By nature, we are always thinking, well, this person owes me. This person needs to give me what I deserve. But if you want to look at the law of God as a means to salvation, God demands perfection always, not only in your external, but also in your heart. Who has put other people first always? No one. Jesus is the only person who perfectly loved his neighbor from his heart at all time. So to be clear, the golden rule cannot be used as a means of self-justification. This rule, the golden rule, comes in the context of grace. We've already been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. We've already been justified. We already have the Holy Spirit sanctifying us. So the context of this commandment is very important. The recipients of this command is not everyone in the world. It is specifically the church, God's people. Now, although it would be true, it would be better. It's true that our world would be better if more people followed this rule, but the fact remains only God's people can understand it and apply it properly. Why is this? Why is it that only God's people can understand and apply this rule properly? Well, there's four reasons. The first reason is because only those who are grafted into Christ will have the mind of Christ. Only those in Christ will be able to treat others as they ought to be treated. Outside of Christ, the golden rule sounds foolish. It's silly and crazy. Why would you treat others better than they are treating you? In order to get ahead in this world, what do you have to do? To get ahead in this world, you need to step on as many people as possible. Push down the others so that you can get ahead. That's the thinking of our world. But as a Christian, we're not living for ourselves. As a Christian, we know what is good. And we know what our neighbor needs. Because we have the mind of Christ. So the first reason is that only a Christian has the mind of Christ and can understand what this law means. Second, the second reason why Christians will be able to keep this law, and Christians alone, is because Christians have been set free from slavery to sin. We've received the love of Christ. As the recipients of the love of Christ, we have been liberated. You might remember that Paul writes, by nature, we are prone to hate men, and we are hated by others. That's human nature. Human nature is hatred. We hate God. We hate others. Stand in my way, and I will hate you too. That's the rule of man. That's the rule of the world. In Christ, having received the love of God, we have been changed. We're set free from slavery to sin. We are no longer selfish people living for our own glory, not seeking our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. Having received the love of Christ enables us not only to love God, but to love our neighbor. If you don't have the love of Christ living in you, you will never love your neighbor as you ought. The third reason that Christians can and will love others is because Christians have seen love personified. They know what love looks like. They've seen it in Jesus Christ. Christians see in Christ the perfect example and have received the propitiation, the satisfaction for their sins in Jesus Christ. Having seen the perfect example of Christ and received the Holy Spirit from Christ enables us to know how we are to live. And fourthly, the final reason why Christians can and will live this way is because only Christians have a proper motivation. The motivation matters. Why would you put the needs of others before your own? Why would you consider other people before yourself? A Christian has a proper motivation. Unbelievers are motivated by pride. Philanthropy motivated by somehow serving mankind. I will give to others only if I get something in return. But a Christian is motivated by gratitude, thanksgiving. Putting others first comes from a heart of faith. I do good to others even if they will never do good to me. Knowing that often my good gifts that I give to others will not be reciprocated, won't give it to me back. Yet I'm thankful for what I've already received. A Christian is motivated by the great gifts of grace we already have in Jesus Christ. Obedience springs from a heart that is rooted in gratitude. We're not trying to manipulate others by our actions. even if our kindness is rejected or thrown back in our face. We seek not, we're living not for the praise of men, but we're seeking to obey God from a heart of love. That's what motivates us to do to others as we would have them do to us. Even if they never do it to us, we do to others as we would have them do to us. To conclude, the golden rule remains one of the most well-known verses on the Sermon on the Mount, but being well-known does not translate into most obeyed. Human nature wants to be first. Me first. I rule. Have it my way. It's my way or the highway. That is the world. But the golden rule teaches that we are to give others what we ourselves would have, putting the needs of others before our own. Jesus makes it clear this is not easy. It's not the broad, easy path, because that leads to destruction. This is the narrow, difficult way that only God's people will follow. So may we all seek to do good, treating others for their good and for the glory of our God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful and humbling responsibility placed upon our shoulders, for we know that by nature we will not think of the others or their good, but by nature we are always looking at ourselves and our own self-interest. But may we, O Lord, learn to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, putting the needs of others before our own, seeking to show love, true Christian love, as we seek to sacrifice and serve in humility and with a heart of grace, giving thanks for the blessings that are ours in Christ. And in his name we pray, amen.